All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
All right, what's up? We're live. I'm Nick. This is Scott. Welcome back to another Wheel Wednesday podcast. Scott, how was your weekend? Do anything fun this weekend? Any new updates?
No. I was just doing personal stuff. I was at a wedding, went upstate. So, nothing crazy. You?
Well, I got a chance to work on the Roadster. These people don't know, but it's been overheating, and I just swapped out the thermostat. And I started it Saturday, and about 2 minutes into working on it, the bolt for the thermostat housing snapped. And the head snapped off. And I was just like, well, I guess the car is going to sit here until tomorrow.
So, yeah, should you drill it out?
No, actually. So I was going to drive it over to my friend's house. But then I realized that it wasn't holding pressure because the head snapped off. So I just pulled the other bolt. And I was able to pull the cap of the housing off. And then I just put a vice grip and just wiggled it loose. Away. Yeah, and got it out. So, I changed the thermostat. No, the car still overheats.
Yeah, I got to change that radiator.
It's the next thing on the list to do.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so. But, oh well, all right. What can you do?
That was exciting.
Pretty much it.
Well, I guess that's what it is. We are narrowing our way to the SEMA show.
Getting close.
Yeah, it's getting close.
We have, 2.5 weeks left?
Yeah, until? About that. So there's a lot that's going on and a lot that has to get done in a short period of time. And it feels like this every year. You know, you think you're getting things done, and you're not sure what you're missing. So, anyhow. I'm going to dive right in because we got a lot of stuff to do. So today we're going to kind of knock out a topic that seems to come up in questions quite a bit. And this has to do with the A versus B profile. So if you're not kind of a Koenig product, yeah. What's the right terminology there?
Familiar with our products
and what kind of some of our terminology. When it comes down to wheels, if you see an A or B after a size, we're basically referencing it. That's an A or B profile,
right? And that pretty much means how concave it is.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of exactly what it means. So, an A profile being a flatter face, and okay. A B profile being more concave.
A more deeper. Yeah, yeah. And that's for every wheel? Every wheel, A is the more flat, and B is the...
When we do an A and B profile, when there's two profiles on, let's say, either a given size or a given diameter, we'll reference them. If it's going to be one of those things where, we're only building an 18.8, there's no reason to reference two profiles because there's only one, right?
Okay.
And in which case, just in case anybody was asked this, if it's going to be a more mainstream fitment like an 18A or whatever it is, an 18.8 or something like that, and it's only one size, it will most likely tend to be flatter. Some wheels, like an oversteer, will have some concavity to it, but and there technically are. To if you go 18.9, there's a more concave look to it, but.
Right.
For the most part.
So that was actually going to be one of my first questions was, all right, so does the profile change based on the width, or is it you can get the same size with two different profiles on it?
You can get the same size. We don't do that a lot. There are a few wheels that we do that in, and we'll have, like, let's say an 18.9.5, and there'll be an A and a B profile.
Okay.
But we try not to do it too much, and the reason is because we don't want to make it so that people get confused. We don't want somebody to have the option of running an 18.9.5 and an A, and then that same 18.9.5 and a B with the same offsets, right?
Right.
Because if we put up something that was like 18.9.5, ET25, 18.9.5, ET25, so same offset, same width, but one was an A and one was a B, it almost becomes a choice, and I'll elaborate, but basically what I mean is you don't want somebody to basically use an 18.9.5B on the front of a car that has a big brake because it won't clear.
Well, another thing too is let's say you're buying a single wheel and you don't know which profile you bought originally. then
right, could it get confusing?
Then it could get confusing. You might buy the wrong profile and then be like, why does this one look different than the other one?
Yeah.
But okay, that's good to know. So different sizes will have different
profiles. And so we tend to try to make the wheels, when we decide, you know, what's going to be an A or what's going to be a B profile, we tend to think of it a little bit more simple than you probably think. We tend to do the A profiles on all the wheels that we think are going to end up on the front of cars because they'll have the most amount of clearance for the brakes. And we tend to do B profiles on wheels that we feel will end up on rear of cars because they'll have smaller calipers and they'll have the ability to make a concave movement and not have brake interference.
Now, I mean, another thing, well, I guess it's only really rear-wheel drive cars, but rear-wheel drive cars will tend to have wider wheels in the back.
Yeah, like a staggered fit.
Like a staggered fit. So it would only kind of amplify the look of that, I guess, because if it's more flatter and then you have like a deeper in the back because it's wider, amplify the staggered look on the vehicle.
So a staggered fit is exactly that. It's when you would do a wider wheel in the rear versus the front. And generally, when you look at cars like, let's say, Mustangs, 350Zs, G35s, and let's say even, Hyundai Genesis Coupes or anything like that.
When Mazda Miatas.
Not at all.
No.
but when you see these cars, they come with a larger rear wheel, and we can put a more concave rear wheel on it.
Right.
And yeah, visually, it shows a difference. Now, very aware that a lot of people want to run the concave look, the B profile, all the way around. And on some cars, you can do it, especially if you're going more aggressive in the front. However, it's not something that we can be like, oh, absolutely, that's always available for an option. A lot of times, you're going to have to work to make that go.
To make it fit, yeah.
Yeah. And it really has a lot to do with the fact that you're limiting caliper clearance. We get the question all the time about, I wish you could just make this wheel more concave. Why don't you make the tandem more concave? Why don't you make this wheel more concave? Why don't you? The problem with it is that, like, if you're going to buy an 18x8 wheel at a 43 offset or a 35 offset, you're generally putting it on a car that has, let's even say, an okay size brake. Most modern day cars have decent sized brakes.
They have pretty big brakes now. I mean, compared to...
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening is you want to put this on the front of your car, and then you also have a high offset wheel. So the wheel's already in. I mean, like, you're going to have a caliper crash. Like, the spoke is going to crash.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so caliper clearance is the number one reason that we can't make wheels more concave than we do. Now, I won't get into it too much because it's actually an idea that we can do for another podcast, which is wheel design and why we do certain things. Mm-hmm. But basically, when we start working on a wheel design, one of the things that we really, really, really try to keep in mind is what we do is we decide kind of what vehicles are we going to be making these wheels for, right? We decide what bolt patterns we're going to make them for. We decide what offset range the molds may be in or what we're going to go to with different inserts and things. And what we essentially do is we plug in AutoCAD, we plug in all this library of the calipers
mm-hmm.
so we can actually see, you know, what the shape of the spoke has to be to clear the brakes that are going to be making for that.
Gotcha.
So when we come up with a wheel that has a given spoke design or a shape or how much concavity is on a wheel...
You already did the measurements to see if it'll clear the brakes for certain vehicles.
Yeah, so it's not arbitrary.
So, and then, you know, again, this might be for a further podcast. So then, if that's the case, what if you want it for a certain wheel? You want a wheel for a certain car. It just wouldn't fit then. I guess if you tried,
what
if
you mean,
designed it to clear like a certain.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's it. We always go through a give and a go, wheels like the Ampliform and the Freeform in 18.8 and a half, they're actually fair. I mean, compared to a lot of other wheels, they actually have a decent little concave, concave movement there
right.
for the 18.8 and a half A. Right. So there are a couple calipers, maybe some things like that we knew we wouldn't target. Maybe some of the Mercedes cars that have really large brakes
where they just wouldn't fit.
They wouldn't clear. But we've decided we're probably not gonna have too many guys running that wheel on that
car. So
we'll remove that brake from our caliper reference there. And let the spoke move in a little bit more.
Right.
But then we want to make sure that for guys, what would be a good example? Like a Sonata Turbo where the brake is actually, it makes a move down low. And what I mean down low is like if you come right off the mounting surface pad, the brake's actually, it's not a tall brake. So what happens is that protrusion actually happens pretty fast. The caliper starts to stick out, and it sticks out really down low. So when you think about a wheel being concave, if that concave movement, kind of goes this way, and the spoke and the caliper, this has got to look ridiculous to people would think. Maybe we can even insert a picture or something. But basically, what happens is when you have that movement down low, that's what keeps the wheel from being able to be concave,
right?
And has to let the spoke almost come all the way down in the wheel before it starts to make a move in, right?
I got you.
So just to kind of sum that up, an A profile is going to be flatter, have more caliper clearance. A B profile is going to be more concave
with less caliper clearance.
Just inherently what concavity does. So, there's a few things people need to consider when they pick wheels. And when you're talking about running big brakes, when you're talking about a car that has big brakes, understanding that a B profile or a concave wheel, and even wheels with lips. The bigger the lip, the more concave, the less caliper clearance you will have, right?
Right.
So that's that. Why don't we quickly show an A versus B profile?
Sure.
Why don't we do A first?
Which one's which?
Yours is an A.
Mine is the A. Okay,
that's this great. We're sliding some stuff in here. This is a Koenig freeform.
And if you're listening on iTunes, head over to YouTube so you can see this this demonstration Scott's about to give everybody.
Very great. This is going to be exciting. We're good there. Let's make sure we got the – spin this baby around. This is some real magical stuff we got going on here. Okay. So
this is the A profile.
This is a freeform in matte silver. And what you can see here is I believe this offset is a low offset. So this is an 18.9.5, I believe, at a 25. And we did this in A profile. And the reason is because you're going to use this wheel.
It is a 25.
You're going to use this wheel on the front of bigger brake cars like 350Zs, Evo 10s. And you'll also have them on, I'm trying to think, the 370Zs with right. The Acabonos.
Now, question: cars mm-hmm. like the Evo 10, where it's an all-wheel drive car.
Yep.
Would you also run? Yeah, you wouldn't run a stagger fitment on that. You would run the same size all around, right?
On an Evo 10, yeah.
Yeah. So then it would be better to run.
There's aggressive. 18.5 is aggressive.
But. Yeah. So you'd be better to run the A profile all around.
You have to because the brake's just too big, you know. And I'll show you what I mean by in a second. But you can see this is a flatter profile. And I'm going to quickly just transition this baby around to the side.
Let's see,
here.
If we can manage to keep this in the same spot, I'll try and cut them together so that way you can see the.
Okay. Let's do a shot after I show them
right. The
other part. But so right in here, if you look, and here's the thing: if you're looking for a better explanation on this, we do touch this in what is wheel offset?
What is wheel offset?
Right. Video. So go over to YouTube channel.
Well, I think I could do an annotation right here.
Maybe.
Or I don't know. Somewhere up.
Somewhere.
Top.
Somewhere
it'll appear.
So basically, what happens is if you look here, the difference in this wheel versus the B profile, which we'll show you in a minute, is that the distance between the mounting pad here to the back of the spoke is much greater, meaning that you're going to have a lot more room for caliper clearance. And on the B profile, we'll show you kind of how that diminishes. So kind of keep your eye on this mounting pad here. That's kind of the distance that we use to clear brakes, especially ones that kind of are lower in the height range, right?
Right.
Why don't you take that down and let me try to muscle this guy up. Oh, never mind. Nick's going to do it. I like that. So here is the B profile. Um, Actually, oh, wow. We should have put it around the other way.
Yeah, you can actually. What do you mean? Do you want to?
Yeah, I want to scoot it around the other way. It doesn't really matter.
I don't think it matters.
So this is the new profile.
You can actually see what you were just pointing at in the mounting pad. Let's show them the mounting pad. You can actually see that it's a lot. There's not as much depth here. I'm not sure if they can tell through watching online, but you know, I definitely see the difference.
So the depth between the back of the mounting pad here and then to the back of this spoke is much less. And so you could see, like, any brake that would have a movement where it would kind of go this way down low in the height range
up against it.
Would have an issue. And the sacrifice, again, is that, you know, this wheel has a lot more concavity. It's hard to see on camera. Right.
I mean,
especially since we're a little cockeyed.
I think right about here. Yeah, you can really see how it's
hard,
much more concave.
We set it the other way, so yeah. The wheel's tilted down. That's what I meant by switching it around.
So this
wheel is more concave. And you can see in the PCD area, it's not nearly as deep. So that's kind of the deal. I'm trying to think. Let's find a good shot. We probably have a good shot from this from when we did the.
I'm pretty sure. I'm going to go back and look at the offset video, and then maybe I'll
use the same wheel
somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, we use the exact same wheel in the video. So I think we actually got this wheel for that video. So
right. So that's really the deal. You know, ABB profile. We do our best to. We could probably get rid of this thing too.
Yeah.
We do our best to put it on our website and note exactly which ones are A's and which ones are B's. We, you know, put our offering there. It's really important that if you're looking for that concave wheel and you're going to take the risks to kind of run it, that you go as far to either, one, do a test fit, or two, you know, send us a message at fitment@koenigwheels.com and we'll do our best to kind of let you know whether we think it will fit or not. And we do get pretty backed up in that email. So, you know, just give us a few days there to get back to you. So that's kind of the A and B thing in a nutshell. You know what I mean? You have anything that you could think of that we didn't add?
Trying to think. I felt like I had another question. Can't remember off the top of my head, though.
Yeah.
Probably should have written it down.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So we spoke about brake clearance. We spoke about how it looks, why you would have more than one profile, different sizes, different profiles.
Yeah.
So then when you're buying from a retailer, how do you know that it's an A or a B profile? It says it online,
yeah, so,
and it has the explanation in there.
On our website, it's listed as A and B. But the one thing that you can do, and this is something that really actually I think is invaluable, is when you consult, we'll often say, if you need help with that or that's confusing to you, consult with a local wheel and tire professional. We've said it in videos. We've said it in podcasts.
All the time.
And, right. So, and the reason we want you to do this is because that retailer usually will have a much better idea of what we mean by different profiles. They've been in the business for a long time.
Right.
And they've seen this. This is not a new thing.
Companies do this too.
To some extent, not everybody. Not everybody, but there are companies that have, you know, done different profiles.
Right.
Especially when you get into multiple piece wheels. Like that's pretty common, especially with three-piece wheels. And two-piece wheels. So they'll be able to help you guide through that. And the other thing is, too, is that they'll be able to kind of consult with us and say, hey, you know, does this fit? I'm going to do the A and the B and this. We'll put the combination together. They'll be able to kind of go through with their tech and make sure that they're picking the right wheels for your car.
Right.
So, you know, look, there's a reason to use everything, and we've kind of come into a world where it's real easy to see somebody that did something online and then instantly try to
do the same thing.
Right, and just go online, buy it, ship them to your house, get them mounted up, and then realize you have a problem. So just, you know, do your homework beforehand.
Right.
Yeah. Anything else you can think of with A and B?
I think that's it.
I mean, there's probably more to it, but I mean, I think for the very basic part of it, I think we covered it. Yeah.
Do you want to do some questions?
Yeah, I do.
Guys, also, anyone listening or watching, we make polls usually a day or two before. That way we can answer on Wheel Wednesday. So
right.
If you have any questions that you want answered in the podcast, you know, keep an eye out for the polls on Instagram or, you know, any questions in general answer, they can email us, comment below.
Yeah, like and if you have a question that comes up even in between the polls or, you know, us putting things up, go ahead and send it in. Just be like, hey, can you answer this on the podcast? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, we'll take them as they go.
All right, so I guess I'll run through all of them, and then you can choose whether or not you want to answer them.
Okay.
So the first one I have here is, why can't one-piece wheels run low offset? Seems like anything 18 by 9 to 9.5 is all plus 35.
So I think, unfortunately, and I'm not trying to sound derogatory with this, I don't know that you did a whole bunch of your research, and the reason is because in 18.5 we have wheels that will go down to 25. I think we even have a wheel at a 20 or 22, and so it has nothing to do with can a one-piece wheel. One-piece wheels can absolutely made it really almost whatever offset you want. The question comes in, is it feasible? Does it make sense? Will it fit cars? And we tend to make wheels that will fit cars or have some functionality right to them. So, yes, you can make wheels at 9.5 with a lower offset. We even have wheels that will go lower, way, you know, 10, 12, 15 millimeters lower than 35. So,
right. All right. So there's a few of these, and this will probably just bang them all out at once. Okay. It says, sponsor me.
All right.
Anybody that has any questions about sponsors, we did a podcast on sponsorships.
Yeah, you can check it out.
Definitely check it out. There's a whole bunch of useful information there. Not that, you know, we're not knocking anybody that says sponsor. Just, you know, check out the podcast, learn some information, and then figure out the steps it takes to get sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Would love a set like my tandems, but in concave form in 16s.
Yeah, so that goes into exactly what we just talked about this entire podcast. If we made the wheel really concave in 16-inch at a higher offset, which is what I think the tandem in 16-inch is 16.75, about 35 to 43 offset or so. And if we were to make that with more concavity than the wheel has right now, the majority of the brakes for the cars that are using that 16-inch wheel, they would not clear.
Right.
And so now, that, you know, if a guy with a Sonata Turbo tried to get that wheel in 16-inch, you would find out that he has a problem and can't put the wheel in the car, Camry, anything like that. So
it says MR2 in his name. I'm going to assume he has an MR2.
Yeah. So, I mean, his car, like that car may be able to take more of a concave wheel because it doesn't have a big brake. But
so now does that wheel come in an A and B profile, or is that one of the wheels that comes only 16.75
is going to be 16.75 mainstream is going to be a very in that wheel especially is going to be a mainstream type of fit.
Next question: when will you hold another giveaway so I can finally own a set of the Koenigs that I can't afford?
So here's the thing: you really, you know, for people, and I think this was interesting. We did a giveaway. We basically said, hey, by subscribing to our newsletter and to our YouTube channel, you would be eligible to win a set of wheels.
Right.
We did the giveaway. We gave a set of wheels away. Then we knew what would happen. All the people that had followed us just to get the set of wheels, some of them would unsubscribe, which is cool. If you don't want to subscribe, like, we're not forcing you to be here, and we're good with that.
We're here to entertain you guys if you don't feel like you're
entertained. And give you some information. So, and, you know, all these podcasts, I mean, today was a little bit more about what we offer, but a lot of them, we don't do that. We'll just general wheel info. Anyhow, so we went through 2 weeks afterwards and we started picking people and we started giving away shirts and different things just at random to anybody who is still subscribed.
Right.
So I think we probably gave away five or six. Yeah, we gave away five or six shirts. We had a couple little other swag things that we gave away. We did that. We had also we given away another set of wheels to one of those subscribers that was super cool. So we did give another set. We did give away another set of wheels off the same list, although we didn't have to go document it. And the truth is, we're going to do that again, and that's going to happen before the end of the year. So if you're subscribed, awesome. And we probably will do another formal giveaway. But you know, the truth is, we're trying to build a community of people that we can talk to and kind of interact with. And so, I don't know. We hope that, you know, you're finding some value in some of the stuff we're doing here.
Right. All right, next question. Some wheels that would look amazing on my 19 Kia Forte.
Yeah, wheels for the Kia Forte. It's like ice cream flavor. I mean, there's preference involved there. I don't know that we can pick one. But, well, I mean, there's a lot of styles. Check it out on our website.
Right. How to repair your wheels if damaged.
Yeah, so we don't endorse the repair of wheels. There are plenty of people that do it. You have to consult with them. Every wheel is going to be different. Because every wheel can be – could if it damages in certain spots or places, it's impossible to know. So take it to a good refurbisher and see what they think. And if they think it can be repaired and they're willing to warranty and stand behind it, then, you know, good luck to you. But we don't endorse that. We can't. It's impossible.
Right. All right. Mm-hmm. The last question is, how do flow form wheels compare to forged wheels when it comes to strength?
Yeah, so we're not going to get into this too much, but, you know, forging is, you know, you really have to know what the forging process is compared to what the flow forming process is. Most of the, in flow forming, a lot of the strength that we start to add in happens in the barrel. That's where we're able to eliminate a lot of extra material and different things. And so in a forged wheel, the entire thing is completely forged, and you know, that's why you'll tend to find that they're a lot lighter but a lot more expensive. Forgings are way more money. So I don't know, I think without getting too much into it, we've covered it. I'm gonna go ahead right through this, right? Thanks for tuning in on this Wheel Wednesday. We will see you next Wednesday. We are slowly moving our way to SEMA. If you like what we're doing here, make sure you subscribe, give us a thumbs up, like, all that good stuff. And I was going to say one more thing. Oh, for more info on the podcast, head over to KoenigWheels.com/podcast. We will catch you next Wednesday, and we'll do this all over again. Anyhow, we'll catch you later. Peace.